Well, good morning. We're just about ready to get started with our live stream this morning, and looking forward to sharing with everyone this morning. And I think we're about 1 minute to go, so. This is a new experience. This is a new attempt. I will admit to being a little nervous this morning about doing this because it's just different. Talking to you when you're not here and I'm just down in my basement is a little bit different, a little bit just weird. But I'm also excited about the new opportunity. So I think it's just about 8:30, and so we're gonna get started. And let's open with a word of prayer. Good morning, Father, on this very snowy, stormy day. Lord, we thank you for your greatness, your goodness, your wonderful power, including over nature, and that today we are here, and today we find ourselves in our homes and online because of the weather. But Lord, we just thank you that you know where we are, that you ordained this day, and that you ordain our lives. Lord, as we spend time meeting in this way, I just pray that our hearts would still be bound together and tied to you, and that as we take this time to look into your word and to continue to allow you through your word and through your Holy Spirit to speak to us, that we would listen, and that even with the distractions of being in our own homes, that we would focus on your word, focus on your Holy Spirit, focus on what you want to say to us as your people, as your church, and as people who have been called to your mission. And so, Lord, I just pray for this time this morning. I pray that this would be a profitable thing and that all the technical details will go well. I thank you and praise you, Father, for your great love and for the opportunities that you give us. May I speak clearly, and we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, this is part three of our series, Gone Fishing. And this week it's called Sharing Lives. But first, we just need to recap a little where we've been. All the way through here, we've been talking about the church and how do we understand church? Because we have a cultural understanding of church so much, and we've put all these different cultural ideas around it until sometimes maybe we've lost sight of the biblical. And that's what we've spent the last 2 to 3 weeks talking about. And we talked about the fact that the church is not a building nor a place in time. And I have to laugh that today we are proving that point because we are not in our building and having what we would normally call church. And Facebook this morning has been full of all these churches being canceled. But really, you can't cancel the church. Governments have tried that over the years. It doesn't work because the church is not a building. It is a community. And sure, we meet at times as a community in a building that we also call a church. But the church is a community. And that community is called on a mission, and that is to make disciples. The first week, we then talked about that we are witnesses, not experts. And we talked about the fact that you don't need to have some highfalutin or deep education to be able to give testimony and witness to Jesus. That what you do need to have is a deep connection and understanding interaction with the grace, love, and mercy of Jesus. And if you've come to understand how much he loves you, how much grace he's given you, and how much mercy he has shown you, then you are ready to be a witness. Now, the church still has a great role of helping us learn more about the word, getting deeper in it. But we saw that first week, people who had just met Jesus and already were able to witness because they could share their encounter with Jesus and how he had impacted their lives. And we could do that. Then the next thing we talked about last week is we talked about the fact that Jesus approaches each person at their point of need. And we looked at several examples in the Bible where Jesus approached each person differently. There wasn't a set formula. It wasn't a set speech he gave of, here's how I'm going to get you saved. Instead, he interacted with each person individually in a custom way because Jesus connects life to life, and each person's life is different, and so each connection needs to be different. And we looked at the fact that when he connects to each person's life, he connects at their point of need. And then part of that is, once you understand that Jesus is connecting at your point of need and that he wants to fill that need, it does mean that you have to let go of the things that you have been using to make yourself feel better, to make your life meaningful, to help you cope with life or make life fulfilling. And that's what becomes hard, because it's not that you have to do it so God will love you, but to receive the love that he freely gives you, you can't receive it until you empty your own hands of your own life. So that's what we talked about last week. So as we wrap up this morning, again, this idea that the church is not an organization that is sharing a message. And that may seem funny to us because we say, well, that is not exactly what we are. We're an organization with a message. But no, what we're going to look at is we're a collection of lives sharing life centered around the Lord of life, who brought us life. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. So with that, take your Bibles, and we're going to start in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I will mention here at this point that we did make printed notes available, and I tried to share that link. It's both on our website, and I tried to share it a couple times on our Facebook page if you wanted to print out the notes. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And we actually shared this a couple weeks ago. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested or shown to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so right there, as we talked about before, he says, listen, we are presenting what we have heard and seen, what we have experienced. This is what we have experienced in our lives, and we are sharing that with you so that you might have fellowship, which is what? Sharing life with us. And we have that, sharing life with the Father. Turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And just verse 9. We're going to look at just one verse as Paul is talking to the church at Philippi. And again, this is Paul not talking to an individual, but to a church. Philippians 4, 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, you have that they experience Paul's life. You have learned and received and heard and seen in me. What you've seen in my life, what you've seen in me, practice that. Bring it into your life. So this, again, idea of life on life. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And here, Paul talks about, again, what was their life with the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. says, listen, we came among you, and he spells out how they didn't come first. He says, we didn't come, and we didn't put on a big show. We came with gentleness. I read the wrong passage, didn't I? I read chapter 2. So let me back up to chapter 1, and then we'll go back to chapter 2. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. I would have done this even if we were alive at church, right? 1 Thessalonians 1, excuse me, 5 through 7. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also become imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation and with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. So here he says, listen, when we came to you, again, we didn't come the wrong way. We didn't come in some sort of big deal, but we did come in the power of the Spirit and conviction. But you know what kind of men we proved to be. You know how we treated you, how we acted, what our character was. And he says, and now imitate that. Take that into your own life and be imitators of that. We'll come back to 1 Thessalonians 2, where I wandered a minute ago, but I want to skip over to 2 Thessalonians 3 just for a second to see one more example of this with this idea of imitating. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have a right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would follow our example. So again, it's not just, you know what we told you. You know what we said. You know what happened in Bible class and what we presented. He says, no, this is how we lived. And you know how we lived among you. You know how we acted. And then again, he says, now follow that example. You do the same thing. Copy our lives. And so again and again, you see this. This is life on life. It's life being shared. They came and shared life. And we'll talk more about that again, because now let's go back to that verse that I read a little ahead of time. And I want to get a little more of it. So I'm going to start right in chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians. So 1 Thessalonians 2. But I want to go back and start at verse 1, and we're going to read all the way through to verse 14, okay? So 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 14. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you, as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hand of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. And I just want to take a couple minutes to unpack a few things in this passage here. It's funny because he starts with verse 2. He says, you know, when we came, we'd been beaten up before. We'd gotten attacked, and so it was easier to be bold because, hey, it's not like we're afraid of it. We've already had it happen to us, and so now we can be bold. And then in verses 3 through 6, he says, this is how we didn't come. We weren't lying. And then he makes a very important statement. We were not seeking fame or fortune. We didn't come with a pretext for greed. We weren't coming to get rich, nor to become powerful. Even though as apostles, we could have asserted having apostolic authority, he says, but we didn't do that. We weren't looking to be on a power trip or to have great fame or fortune or power. Instead, we just came to share with you the gospel. We were gentle, encouraging, training. Verses 8 and 9, we shared the gospel and our own lives. Our own lives. Verse 10, you watched how we lived with you. That's just so powerful. You are witnesses how we lived with you, how we conducted ourselves. And it's not, boy, weren't we just perfect? He says, no, our message was not merely one where we talked. Our message was delivered by living with you. They had shared their lives. You watched us live. And then verse 13, he says, now the word that we've given you now is going to be at work in you. This word is now going to do this work in you, verse 14, and you are going to imitate. In fact, it said your whole church is going to imitate the churches that we came from back in Judea. That's where the church had started. He says, and the whole church is going to imitate. The life of one church is being copied in another. So all the way through here, we see this copying of life, this life on life, and a message that is shared by life. So let's just apply that a little bit. Because you think about how we oftentimes do church these days and how we conceive of church and how we define church. And there are some churches that are built around a name and fame. Maybe they have a marquee speaker, they have that pastor and he's the big name and everybody comes to see this is so-and-so's church and he's a big name. And so the church kind of becomes known for their pastor and his fame. And maybe the whole church now has a name to it. And then, of course, the next step is merchandising. Sorry, Spaceballs reference. But the problem is, when a church becomes built around a name and fame, you're no longer connecting to a life. It becomes a message and a performance. Because if all you see is the leader up front, and you hear a great message, but do you get to see that leader live? Do you know his wife and kids? Do you bump into him in the supermarket and just talk? Well, no. And so you can still receive a great message, but all it is a message and a performance, but not a life. And so that doesn't mean that you can't have a good message. But that means that's all you got was talking. It's not life on life. And what does that lead to? Consumers, not sharers. Because all the information's going one way. And so it's not two people sharing. It's one people talking and the other person consuming. And the last way, and again, this is, again, not against having a good speaker, and it's not against having a good lesson. But if we're talking about making disciples, that's not how you do it. It's not enough. And the last problem with that is, how is anybody else going to imitate that? How are you going to copy that? You may not have a big stage. Maybe you're not a good public speaker. And so you look at the great man who can do great public speaking and has the big name, and you say, well, I can't do that. Maybe you can't. But that's not what following Christ is about. But now the nitty-gritty day-to-day has been lost. And so how are you supposed to duplicate that? And if you think that's what it means to make disciples, if you think that's what it means to help someone else spiritually, then you say, well, I can't do that. And so a lot of people don't make disciples or don't participate in discipleship because they're not the great speaker who can do it up front. But that's not what the church does. Now, some other churches are built around beliefs and information that is not connected to daily life, other than rules to live by. This is where you walk in and we say, okay, here is our doctrinal statement. This is who we are. And now, are you staying out of trouble? Are you avoiding sin? Are you being a good boy and girl? Okay, well, that's what our church is. We have a doctrinal statement, and boy, that doctrine is probably very biblical. And the rules, biblical too. And so that's what we are as a church. And even though there's a lot of truth in there, again, it doesn't become real life. Because although you have a great doctrinal statement, but what does that mean on Tuesday? What does that mean as I go through life? And then with all those rules and statements, the church becomes what I call mess resistant. It's kind of like stain resistant carpet. We don't want to make a mess, right? We don't want there to be untidiness and dirtiness. And so then what happens if your life is a mess? You do not feel like bringing your life into church. Or if there's parts of your life that are messy, you're going to hide them in church, because to show that might mean getting a lecture or getting frowned upon. And so if you're struggling with something, you're probably not going to ask for help because you're ashamed. Because the church is mess resistant and we have rules. So just make sure you can recite the doctrine, follow the rules, and keep your mess to yourself. But again, notice how this isolates us. This separates our lives apart from each other. Now contrast that with Jesus. Now Jesus, being perfect, being God, sitting up in heaven in his perfection, he says, I want to save the human race. I want to save mankind. So what do? I write him a letter and I say, here's what you should do. And I send it. Nope. Instead, he comes among us. And not just in one great glorious appearance where he appears and calls a crowd together. No, he comes down and he says, I'll start at square one. I'll start in the womb. And I'll live a full human life with you. I'll experience everything that you've experienced for no other reason than to share with you, by sharing your life with myself. And so I will share your life so that I can share my life with you. And he lives with us, and he lived among us, and he shared his life and our lives. And that's the message of the gospel, and that's what sets the Bible and what the Bible teaches apart from every religion. Because God says, I want to share your life. I want to get into the mess and just know you. And when you see Jesus walking through his time on earth, he walked into people's messy lives and touched them where the mess was and shared that moment with them. But it wasn't just, let me be sympathetic. It was, and let me offer you something more, my life, something new, something better that you can now abandon all this for what I want to give you, which is greater, because I love you. We see, and what we've seen this morning as we've looked at these verses, is the apostles in the early church. They learned it from Jesus. And what did they do? They said, we're going to walk into your lives and share your life and our life together. We're going to come live among you. We're going to work among you. We're going to spend time with you. And you're going to see how we live. We're going to see how you live. And then through that, yeah, we're going to teach. But you're going to learn not just through our instruction, but through our lives. And even their instruction was informed by living with them. A lot of people like to quote Paul at Mars Hill, because Paul had spent time getting to know their life, and so he knew how to talk to them by saying, I notice you have these various shrines here. Let's talk about your shrines. How did Paul know? Because he got to know them. He shared their life into his so that he could share the life God had put in him with them. And that's what it means for us as a church, to be the church. It is not to retreat behind the walls of the building, look out at the world and say, I think they're coming to get us, we should be afraid. But to be among each other and sharing life and confessing our sins to one another and saying, this is my struggle and this is where I wrestle and these are the moments when I have trouble trusting God. And we bring our messes together, not to celebrate our messes, but to share real life so that then the Lord of life can minister to us from each other. And we can share with each other the daily experience of God's love and grace and mercy. And that's what we really need. We need the love and grace and mercy of God expressed into our lives and into our messes by each other. And if you read through the New Testament, this is emphasized again and again. Bear one another's burdens. Confess your sins to one another. Mourn with those who mourn. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Share your lives with one another. Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Again and again, this is taught. The gospel lived. Not a performance. Not a, I am so perfect, look at me, follow the rules. But just, no, I am just daily wrestling with accepting more fully and surrendering more completely to the love, grace, and mercy of Christ who died for me. Learning to let go of my stuff and surrendering the things that I pursue so that I can receive, so that I may pick up more of Him and know Him better. I share the life of Christ in me. And I live the gospel in our struggles, in our living, and then we can learn to imitate each other. We can learn to say, that's how you do that. Ah, that helps me. And I will tell you that even now as I share with my brothers and sisters and as I hear their struggles, it helps me. It helps me keep going. It helps me know sometimes how to keep going, how to apply the scripture. And this is what we call doing church. This is what the church is. And boy, that's different than going to a service and sitting and maybe enjoying the music or finding ourselves thoughtful in a good message. Again, those things aren't bad. And that's why I just had to laugh. As I was considering that today I would be delivering this, talking to my cell phone, basically, in my basement, alone. This is not church. But we are the church. having a message, whether you sit quietly in front of your computer screen or sit quietly in a pew, in a chair, that is not church. You are the church. We are the church. And as we share one another's lives, whether we share them over Facebook, whether we share them over coffee, whether we share them before or after the service, our shared corporate life, lives together, ministering the love, grace, and mercy of God, that is the church. And that is how we reach the world. Our world is longing for community. And our world, as it has more and more ways of connecting, more and more doesn't know how to really do it. And you just have to scroll through a Facebook feed or some online comments to see people who are lonely, who are angry, who are scared. And they need real connection, life on life, and to experience the love and grace and mercy of God. And as we share that with each other and invite new people in, we are making disciples. And we can say, the things that you have heard and seen in us, do those. Not about perfection, but about a pursuit and a receiving of the grace, love, and mercy of God. If this is new to you, I hope that you will connect with us. You can reach out to me. If you're watching this on Facebook, then you know how to get in touch with me. If you are within driving distance and you do not have a church where you can connect and receive the grace, love, and mercy of Christ, then come see us at Beans Corner. Or find a body that you can connect with where you can share your life, receive the Word of God, receive the grace, love, and mercy of Christ, to know how much He loves you, how much He forgives you, how much grace He has for you in your weakness, and how He wants to take away the things you've been using to try to satisfy yourself and instead pour love and grace into your life. It'll change you. It'll transform you. Not all at once. We're all a work in progress. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I hope that this time has been instructive, has been helpful. I'm praying for you, and I'll ask you to pray for me as we continue to share life together. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for your love for us, so great that you would abandon your godhood, emptying yourself of all the attributes of God to come down and live as a human, to be born as a human baby, to grow up, and then as an adult, to subject yourself to poverty, homelessness, and ultimately rejection, crucifixion, and death. All so that you could share your life with us as you shared our life into yours. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have been dismissive of others. That we look at others' lives and we say, you are too different from us. We do not want to hear your story. It's too messy. Lord, because we know that that is not how you've approached us. And Lord, forgive us for the times that we have hidden our own messes because we're ashamed. We hide away from even you because we're ashamed of our mess, not understanding how much you love us and how much you want to forgive us if only we will let go of our pride, let go of the things that we cling on to turn away from our pursuit of satisfaction and identity, and just let you take us and to turn our lives over to you because you love us so much. Forgive us when we have resisted. And Lord, as a Beans Corner community, may we, as your church that meets at Beans Corner, be a community that shares our lives with each other and invites others to share their lives with us so that we might share your life with them. And may that be what defines us as your church. Because we'll do what you did and what you still do each day as you minister into our hearts every day your love your grace, your mercy, the truth of your gospel. Thank you, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope this worked. I hope that it ministered to you today. I hope that you'll stay safe on the road. I will not be here next week because I'll be on a missions trip. Thank you. Have a safe and wonderful rest of your day.